Good afternoon. My name is Brian Novoselsky, Associate Editor with Drug Topics. Today I'm here with Steve Postal, Director of Policy and Regulatory Affairs at the National Community Pharmacists Association and Editorial Director of the American Society for Pharmacy Law. Today we are going to be discussing pharmacy benefit managers, otherwise known as PBMs, from an independent pharmacy perspective. The NCPA works with community pharmacies across the country, and with Steve's role as Director of Policy and Regulatory Affairs, he and his team are working to help independents fight back against these pharmaceutical middlemen. Now, starting us off here, how has the NCPA's stance on PBMs changed over time?
Right, so I've only been here for about a little over 2 years, but we've been at the forefront of PBM, advocating for more PBM oversight for a long time. We've just been fighting this battle for quite some time now, and it's good that just in the recent past there's been much more attention put on these intermediaries, especially given the fact that only a couple of years ago, it seems like compared to now, there's a lot more, the spotlight is shining a lot more brightly against these actors.
When it comes to PBM reform, many industry experts claim that state-level involvement is much more plausible and possible than getting things changed on the federal level. Why do you think that is? With so much PBM legislation being tagged as bipartisan, how come federal reform seems to be much more difficult than what pharmacies are doing on the state level?
Yeah, Brian, that's a great question. So I think on the state level, state advocacy can be much closer to the ground, and there's tends to be more grassroots involvement, which is a good thing. Pharmacy, too, is often a typically more of a state-regulated issue, more attention on the state level there. The internal politics of the states, when you have, from the industry's perspective, like with their trifectas of control, like both houses and then the governor is all one party, bills tend to move quickly, and that is also the case with our issues. So it's not necessarily that the pharmacy issues are partisan per se, but it's just more of a global partisan policy issue that we can benefit from, again, if it's one party has control. We've seen great successes in the states in this last year alone. I think there are about 8 PBM reform bills that we've seen that have been signed into law. But on the federal side, it's just more deliberative, takes more time. So Congress generally in the office in D.C. 3 or 4 days a week. That limits the amount of time and work that they can get done. The House tends to be more reactive. The Senate tends to be more deliberate, so trying to reconcile those two houses and their framework of looking at things. And that's even before politics gets into the mix. These are kind of some reasons of the difference between state and federal.
As a representative of the NCPA, what's your organization's number one goal that you'd like to see be executed in response to PBMs?
Yeah, so I think there's unfortunately more than one. I would think there might be three that I can think of. One is to remove, the conflicts of interest of the largest PBMs have through vertical integration, reconciling that, and like as I discussed with the earlier contract provision, just making it more fair to independent pharmacy in the marketplace. Also to ban spread pricing in Medicaid managed care by requiring a fair and transparent reimbursement structure. The legislation that we support would save taxpayers about $1 billion, and that's S-2973, which is the Modernizing and Ensuring PBM Accountability Act, or MEPA Act for short. And I guess the third one would be to require CMS to define reasonable and relevant contract terms in Medicare. And our legislative vehicle for that is um, 3430, which is the Better Mental Health Care, Lower Cost Drugs and Extenders Act. And this bill includes a provision which requires CMS to define, you know, reasonable and relevant Medicare Part B contract terms. And it would also give, you know, CMS the tools to oversee and enforce those terms. So again, helping to level the playing field with independence.
Awesome. So your work as an organization is definitely not going unnoticed, and you guys are doing some pretty amazing things, which is really, really nice to see. So I guess moving to more of the positive side of things, what are some of the recent successes your organization has had in community pharmacies fight against these prescription drug middlemen? Have there been recent changes in legislation that have given power back to pharmacies subject to PBM demands?
Yeah, so on the federal side, we've had a couple. The first is that recent FCC interim PBM report, and the key development there is that FCC has really acknowledged the dramatic change in landscape as regard to consolidation since their last report back in 2005. Also, that Lower Cost, More Transparency Act that I mentioned earlier, which does include our Medicaid managed care priority policies. This was passed out of the House with overwhelming bipartisan support in December, and we're now waiting and hopeful for final passage. Recently, too, ESI, Express Scripts, sent messages to their Medicare Part D, as in DOG, contracted pharmacies, that they're suspending their bonus pool fee program. But this came from a result of advocacy from NCPA to CMS, numerous communications arguing that these bonus pool fees, they are additional in-network per claim fees that are not being applied at point of sale, and that they were violating CMS's Medicare Part D or DIR final rule back from May of 2022. So CMS had indeed communicated to NCPA in late May that those fees were outside of the scope allowable under the final rule, and then we've got the communication with Express Scripts to tie that loop, and they're standing down from those, which is definitely a good win. Also, we have three class action lawsuits that are being filed by an NCPA member to help pharmacies recover DIR fees. So we're hoping for positive results from those. Trying to think what else. Oh yeah, and then turning to the states, there is a number of bills. I'm actually counting seven bills that were great in getting PBM reform across the finish line. So Louisiana SB 444, among other things, it prohibits PBMs from reimbursing pharmacies or pharmacists less than the acquisition costs for the drug. Vermont H233, that prohibits spread pricing, also prohibits gag clauses, and creates a fiduciary responsibility for the PBMs to the payer. Kentucky SB 188, this requires a pharmacy reimbursement in the commercial market, and then most state employee plans to cover the national average drug acquisition cost, or NADAC, plus the professional dispensing fee. Also looks at network adequacy and limits the role of mail order pharmacy. Oregon, HB 4149, adds some audit protection, strengthens the appeals process, among other things. Idaho HB 596 requires PBMs to report all rebates and to use a pass-through pricing instead of that spread pricing. And then additionally, West Virginia SB 453 and then Washington State SB 5213 also key wins in the PBM reform space. So our state team has been extremely active. We've had some great wins this year.
So I just have one more question, kind of more geared to our independent pharmacy audience. What's your advice to independent pharmacies looking to recover from decreasing reimbursements or to successfully operate a pharmacy at the will of PBMs backed by major pharmaceutical companies?
So a couple of things. We advise our membership and just, you know, independents generally to join the Finish the Fight campaign. That's our legislative initiative to get this legislative vehicle that I talked about before across the finish line. More information is on our website, Finish the Fight campaign. Also to join Trust LLC. This is a limited liability company that we've stood up to also try to recover DIR fees, and we're having many pharmacies join in that effort. So again, on our website, Trust LLC, to also use your state resources to file complaints against egregious PBM practices in your state. That could be through the insurance commissioner or possibly some other executive office in the states, and we have a resource on our website to where people can navigate where to go to which state, and then also to report any PBM complaints to CMS. That's on a national level, PERD_monitoring@cms.hhs.gov. That's a email that CMS stood up to address PBM complaints globally in the Medicare space, as well as to talk to and communicate those grievances to your regional offices. So CMS is divided into regions, and online they have resources to contact your regional offices on CMS's website. And then again, if anything seems to raise any red flags, we do not provide legal advice at NCPA for pharmacies, but if you feel that that is needed, we obviously do recommend that you seek out legal counsel to get a fresh pair of eyes on any issues you're facing with PBMs.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time today. That's all I have for you. And I also really appreciate all the work that you and your organization is doing. It's pretty important for this space, so we really appreciate it.
And thank you, Brian, for bringing us into this conversation. Greatly appreciate it.